All the sports, all the news, Sportsfire. Asking the questions no one else will. Join me, Graham Joffe, as we scrum down with players, coaches, and administrators. 1 hour of hard-hitting, informing, controversial, entertaining sports talk. Sportsfire, powered by Rico.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Rico Sports Fire. Welcome to our syndication partner listeners. That's West Coast FM in Namibia, 90.3 FM in Plettenberg Bay, Knysna FM, Cowie FM in Port Alfred, Wild Coast FM in East London, and Eldos FM in Johannesburg. On the show tonight, Kickoff.com's Tiani Mabasa will look back at those Telkom knockout semi-finals, and it's not going to be a Pirates-Chiefs final. Sportsfire rugby analyst Dan Retief has called every game on the European Tour right, and we'll get his thoughts on the last game against the French. South African running great, or let's lower the call of the comrades queen, Frith van der Merwe, will be catching up and looking back at her career, and also know that she was inducted into the G Sport Hall of Fame last week. CrossFit. I'm not too familiar with it, but I'm sure a lot of the gym fanatics out there might be. Something new in South Africa started by Neil Geyser. We'll get the latest on this complete kind of gym improvement session, and it's going places and growing very fast. Teletrack analyst Shane McGregor look back on the weekend and also preview the Sansui Summer Cup, and of course Norma off the wall analyst. Clips tonight, BBC Football, Heineke Meyer, South African Open winner Morten Madsen, David the Sledger Warner, and a look back at, as I said, last year's Sansui Summer Cup. At Joffe's my boy, the Twitter address, Graham Joffe on Facebook, the website sportsfire.co.za. Sportsfire, powered by Rico, South Africa's leading provider of document management solutions.
Daddy, why do you come here?
Because here I can be creative.
Why is that important?
Because that's how we create our document solutions.
Why do you need document solutions?
Because they revolutionize the way people work.
What's revolutionized?
At Rico, we have as many document solutions as a six-year-old has questions. Why? Because when integrated creatively, information and technology drive productivity and profitability. Rico. Imagine. Change.
First up, Joff was my boy in his soapbox, and I was reading with interest a Sapa story, a headlined, Where Are the Black Golfers? And it was the SA Open at Glendower this past week, and the story quotes South African golfer James Kamtez saying, there's a lack of development in South Africa when it comes to golf. Unfortunately, with the gallery, golf in South Africa for the black people started off very late, end quote. Kamtez has a very valid point re development. The galleries might be something altogether different, and I had a long chat with James, great guy, a few months ago at a charity golf day, and he was telling me how the sports minister, Fikile Mbalula, had promised that the ministry would get involved in assisting him to set up an academy to assist more young players. And then when he calls Mbalula to make good on his promises, there's a number of different excuses, more to do with the fact that the minister has been so busy with all his overseas travels. So it's quite simple. Golf is just another sport that the sports minister knows very little about. And Mbalula promised money for golf academies for young players, but would rather spend $65 million on the SA Sports Awards and that massive after party. Heard about that. Remember Huddle Park in Linksfield? Three public golf courses that were left for rack and ruin for so many years, probably over 5 years, when it could have been used for development. So many pros today got their start at Huddle Park. It's a massive opportunity gone missing, but fortunately South Africa is blessed with so many talented golfers, and there's no political interference in the running of the sport, so we will continue to achieve as a golfing nation. But whether or not we can have a South African Tiger Woods remains to be seen. More youngsters need a chance, and we can't expect the likes of the Ernie Els Foundation to be the only ones giving back. The government and sports ministry have to tee it up for the majority if we ever want to have the South African Tiger Woods.
This is Sports Fire with Graham Joffe, powered by Rico.
Kickoff.com's Tiani Mabasa liked it. Is that a new look on the magazine, or was that just because I liked the front page?
For the past, I think, two editions or so, we decided to have a new look, you know, to stay relevant, basically.
Boy, are you the new creative director? Because it looked very good.
Hey, boss.
Are you the new creative director? Because the front page looked beautiful.
I wish.
Get your kickoff.com magazine. Looks very, very good. All right.
Thanks, boss.
No Chiefs Pirates Telkom knockout final. I'm sure Telkom probably would have liked that, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I think they'll get a decent crowd because, you know, Pirates are playing a good team in Platinum Stars. And, you know, that will be a grudge match in many ways because this team, Platinum Stars, beat Pirates in the MTN final, you know. So Pirates will be going for revenge in this one. And that will make it even more interesting. I think, you know, Pirates fans will go out in numbers because they've already lost two cup finals in the M10-8 and in the CAF Champions League as well. And I don't think, you know, they will stand another loss, you know. So imagine a third loss in the cup final. So I'm sure they'll go out in numbers to support the team.
So another cup game for Pirates. They're going to finish their PSL 2013-2014 season in 2016.
At the rate they're going, yeah. Because they're so far behind. You know, they played three league games.
Crazy.
And I think this month, maybe they'll play one more league game, and that's it. You know, so it makes it very, very difficult for them to, you know, to bounce back after, you know, all the postponements because of the campaign in the Champions League.
Yeah, they'll end up playing three league games a week, I'm sure, come February, March.
Yeah,
I missed the games at the weekend. Just going to go back. So Platinum Stars beat Chiefs 1-0. I was just looking at the game report, and the Platinum Stars coach was just talking about how at halftime he had to change the game plan, and he thinks that was the difference between the two sides.
Yeah, you know, definitely. You know, he told his players that you're 45 minutes away from Mbombela, you know, so stick to the plan. And that's exactly what they did, you know. And I think for me, Platinum Stars, you know, they achieve whatever they're achieving because, you know, they play without any sort of pressure. You know, if you compare to Chiefs, for example, you know, they won a double last season. Their fans are expecting more, and they haven't done that. You know, they lost out in the MTN8, and I'm sure, you know, looking at the log standings as well, it's not looking good for them. So probably maybe it's the pressure with Chiefs, but I have to commend Platinum Stars for the way they stayed calm, you know, despite being so under pressure. You know, that's how to win games. You stay calm, you know, in such situations. You get your chance, you put it away, and as simple as that.
Pirates beat SuperSport United 2-1 in extra time. Jali is pretty much the go-to guy.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's a pity he's still in the PSL at his age, you know. He's getting older by the day. And, you know, European teams, once they look at your age and, you know, you're on the wrong side probably of 25, you know, it's hands off for them. So it'll be a bit of a problem. So for me, it should be playing overseas now. But then again, it's helping Pirates here. And I put Kevin Johnson, the SuperSport United coach, when he said, you know, the experience in the Champions League has helped Pirates because they've become such a different team. They've played so many big games in Africa and here, you know, in the domestic league as well. But I think that has helped them, and it helped their players in such a way that, you know, they can approach any big game with the mentality that, you know, we're gonna take it, we can win the game.
I want to go back. We haven't had a chance to chat about it yet, but Bafana Bafana's 1-0 win over Spain, and people are still talking about it and how well they played. Were you at the game?
Yeah, you know, with Spain, my fear is that people are start thinking that we will beat us, you know. that's unfortunately a friendly game. And yes, credit to us because we did not win in that game. We gave everything. But, you know, the problem is South Africans, they will start wanting more out of this. And they may be disappointed because, you know, this team is far from ready, in my opinion. And as much as people are looking to the 2018 World Cup, or rather look at the 2022 World Cup, because Danny Jordan was saying that rather send the team that's going to compete just add to the numbers, you know. So, but, you know, we're not a patient lot. We know that, you know. And so this Spain win doesn't turn out to be, you know, some you know, a problem for us, you know, heading into the future, because people may expect, you know, Bafana to beat Brazil in the next one, or to be German in the next one, and, you know, at this stage, that's unrealistic.
Yeah, disappointing still. We're not going to Brazil 2014. If I look at the African countries that are qualified, Algeria, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Nigeria, whose chances do you like the best in Brazil of the African countries?
Yeah, you know, they have done really well. You know, I'll pin my hopes on them because they have been fairly consistent, you know, from when they were building up to the AFCON 2013. They were looking really, really good, you know. And after that, you know, they're still looking good. And they can go there and do what they did in 94, you know, trying to reach the lesser stages of the tournament. We need a team at least or two, you know, at least in the quarterfinals. Then we have a chance of having a team in the semifinals as well. And from there on, you never know. I think it's high time we give it our best shot and try to win the World Cup because at the moment we know we're just adding to the numbers, and that's not good for our football in Africa.
Sports Minister Fikile Mbalula said they're moving on the SAFA probe into match fixing, those friendlies before the 2010 World Cup. Have you heard anything? Because I've heard nothing again.
You know, isn't that funny? Because, you know, they had so much time to try and turn this around, and they didn't. And when FIFA came here, even though, you know, FIFA, they were not fair in terms of, you know, communicating this beforehand, you know, but, you know, the bottom line is there's no progress with that probe, you know, and someone had to step in and say, hang on, you know, we're not going anywhere with this, and it's high time, you know, we take over, and maybe they can achieve, you know, get to the bottom of this sooner, you know, rather than later, you know, because we need to get to the bottom of that at the end of the day. But Fikile Mbalula came out and said, you know, before the end of December, you know, things, we'll know the outcome of this, but I won't buy into that because there's been so many months that, you know, they were given to try and get to the bottom of this, and they didn't, you know. So I'm glad that FIFA took over, and hopefully FIFA can get to the bottom of this as quickly as possible.
Tiani Mabasa from kickoff.com. T, great chatting to you again, my brother.
All right, boss. Sure.
Cheers, then. So the Boks are back, and a very good end of year tour. Finished with a 19-10 win over France in Paris. Before we hear from Sportsfire rugby analyst Dan Retief, here's part of what Heineke Meyer had to say, courtesy of SA Rugby.
Yeah, you know, I'm very relieved and very proud. It's been a really long season and a lot of niggles and a lot of injuries, but the guys really wanted to put their bodies on the line, want to win for their country, and they played against a very tough French side. So I'm just very, very happy and very relieved. And I think we've been very blessed this year and especially today.
Because at this stage, it doesn't matter how the victory comes, though.
Yeah, obviously, you know, to win in France, to beat them by 9 points, you know, one or two tries was a 50-50. Could have gone either way. So, you know, you don't win away games. It's been really tough winning away. So I'm very happy. I think the guys did awesome. A mental performance, mental toughness, and just a great win. Yeah, I'm very proud of the team. You know, the great thing about this team, they play for each other. It's not just the 23 guys on the floor or on the pitch. It's like the whole 32 players that's been here and a few injured guys back home. And what really makes me proud is that, you know, a guy like Willem Alberts was injured, shouldn't have played probably, put his body on the line, and then suddenly he's the man of the match. You know, that's awesome. A guy like Kuni, two injuries. We were really worried about the scrum, especially against the French. He came through brilliantly. And, you know, Bakkie's 34 years old, a lot of criticism to get him in. When Eben got injured, he came on an awesome, you know, really awesome performance. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's about teamwork, playing for each other, putting bodies on the line for the guy next to you. And that's what makes him a successful team. Very, very proud of the guys.
Sportsfire rugby analyst Dan Retief. Danny, you called all the games right on tour from game one. Well done, my boy.
Yeah, but it shouldn't really be that much of a compliment when you consider that we're the second best side in the world. And we were playing teams that were below us, Joffa. So, you know, and really, Scotland we should beat. I was surprised at the hype around Wales because I just felt we were a better side. But I think a very important win against the French. You know, the French at home and the Stade de France, we've lost twice there previously. We struggled. We hadn't won there since 97. So that's a good victory. You know, it shows that the boys are you know, they've got their feet on the ground. They're starting to understand what Heineke Meyer wants from them. And they're getting the wins. You know, the big glaring omission is still a certain team that plays in an all-black kit that comes out of two little islands in the deep south. Heineke Meyer hasn't beaten them, you know, and they set the standard. So Heineke has now got to a point where he has a really quite an impressive record, you know, 70% win record. With just over 20 tests, but you strip out the All Blacks and he's right up there as the most successful Springbok coach, you know. But so I think his nightmare is the black jersey and the silver fern. And I think the big debate is, can this All Black side keep it up until 2015, or are we going to go back to the old jokes about the All Blacks peaking in between World Cups? You know?
I'll come back to those All Blacks in a moment. But you mentioned that the Paris jinx has been broken. It was a good tour. It wasn't pretty rugby at all times. But, you know, winning all three after a long year, that's all I guess you can ask of the box at the end of the
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. 100% record on tour. You know, they've struggled to do that on occasion. You know, for instance, in the modern era, the Springboks haven't won the Grand Slam. But enough, the old boys, the 60 side, the 50 side, and even before that, they often won the Grand Slam. In fact, they used to win all their matches before the All Blacks did. The All Blacks have now done it subsequently to us. And no, you have to give it to the box. You know, it's cold weather, different weather, and they played on three shocking pitches. I mean, every one of them was a shocker. And they found a way, you know, to control their scrum. In fact, I thought Kuni Oosthuizen deserved a big pat on the back for the way he scrummed against France. France are a really good scrummaging side. They found a way to adapt and play the Northern Hemisphere referee way of blowing the breakdown, and that is the Northern Hemisphere referees, and maybe because of their conditions, they tend to allow a little bit more time, a little bit more killing of the ball, you know. And we of course have players like Willem Alberts and Dion Vermeulen and Francois Loh that play that game really well, you know. So for instance, as we get to the end of another rugby year. We've forgotten about Heinrich Brasseau. If you recall, at the beginning of this year, one of the big debates was how can Heineke Meyer leave out Heinrich Brasseau. Heinrich Brasseau is now in Japan and he's the forgotten man. And Heineke Meyer is getting full value from his three big Lucys, you know. And especially in those conditions, they are very effective. And then, you know, players like Bucky's Buerta, you know, that can really throw their weight around, Eben Etzebeth. And Heineke Meyer, to his credit, and one has to concede, has said all along, you know, that he is doing all this with an eye to Twickenham 2015, you know. So 2 years out, he couldn't have hoped for a better result.
Yeah. Etzebeth, I think, a scan tomorrow maybe. They returned home this morning, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I felt for him that he looked very sore and very disappointed when he came off, you know. So I hope it's not a bad one. But of course, again, if there is any luck in an injury, it's at the right time. You know, we go into the off season now, a very hard year behind the boys. You know, and a player of his stature, you know, you can give him a nice long rest, and hopefully the Stormers aren't champing at the bit to push him back into Super Rugby action next year, because he's a real gem. You know, he's one of those players that is going to be a value to the Springbok for many more years. You know. And we are seeing that with Etzebeth coming through and now Peter Steph de Toy, that we could go into the Rugby World Cup with the best lock pairing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you talk about it's pretty much a short break. Rugby these days, the breaks are very short over December period. But there's still a Barbars game this weekend, a couple of South Africans involved in that, I think.
Yeah, I have to be a little bit cynical about these Barbars games. You know, the Barbars have a great tradition. And I think part of that tradition was built on that great 73 game where Gareth Edwards scored what is still considered the best try ever. It might well be that it was the greatest try first caught on television, you know, because I thought there was a forward pass in it. But nobody will ever forget it. And then their kit, you know, the black and white hoops. And it used to be that it was a tremendous honour to get asked to play for the Barbarians. And in the old days, the Barbarians game was a very important fixture because the touring sides would play the Barbarians as their very last game. And they would gather a side that was almost the British Lions, you know. In the modern age, it's sort of tapered off a bit. It's not that important. They sometimes struggle to get a really good Barbarian side. And what you see is that when they do put together a strong side, they normally give their opponents quite a hiding. And when they've struggled to put together a side, then the touring side wins quite well. But when I say I'm a little bit cynical about this, you know, because we talk about fatigue and we talk about how tired the players are and how desperately they need to rest. And then when the Barbers game comes round and the officials up there make the sound of a £10 note, then a lot of players are suddenly available for that game. And I think it's a little bit disingenuous of the players. You're either tired or you're not tired, you know. But you could argue that, of course, they are professionals and it's another payday. But I just do find it interesting that when things aren't going so well, it's because we play too much. But when there's cash put on the table, then we're able to play.
Let's go back to that New Zealand Ireland game. And Dan, what a game. What passion. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what you call a proper rugby game.
Yes, and what a way to close out the rugby year. You know, I know it goes on in the Northern Hemisphere, you know. And, of course, we're not into league, but the Kiwi League team had pulled off a similar win the day before. But that was probably the perfect test match, the finale of the year, you know. In Ireland, I mean, they played their hearts out. And they really deserve to win, especially they had a bit of luck. Rob Carney's try was a bit of luck, a pop pass that went straight to him. He went the length of the field, but they were full value for the first two. And New Zealand were 19-0 down, 19 in 19 minutes. And, you know, it really looked like they were shot. But the one thing you have to know about this New Zealand side, and I think that is what sets the All Blacks aside, is that they have absolute faith in their own ability and their own ability to score points and their systems and their structures, you know. So I think what New Zealand then did, and, you know, with McCaw at the helm, they settled in and they just went back to playing their game. It didn't work for them at Twickenham last year because they got it wrong there. But against Ireland, they just put those attacks together. They had the confidence, they had the patience, they had the discipline. And eventually they scored the try. And then, of course, they got another little piece of luck, you know, the conversion being charged. And Cruden getting another chance. I'm sure the Irish are sick about that. You know, they're probably spitting blood. But, you know, all credit to the All Blacks. 14 out of 14, the first team I see that have been able to do that in the professional era. The other thing about the All Blacks, you know, I've really been studying them because I sort of think I have to write something about the All Blacks in the City Press on Sunday. And I've been looking at the records. Now, the one thing that I think that we tend to miss about the All Blacks is that they score about 24, 25 points a game on average. So when you go into a game against the All Blacks, they're going to score points. And they're going to get quite a lot of points. You know, they're going to get points that equate to three tries and a couple of kicks. And they do that on average. They might sometimes get less, but sometimes they get more. So that is why they're so formidable, because they are so confident that they're going to get points. I think they did it to the Springboks at Ellis Park, you know, where they had to get a bonus point and the Springboks had to win. And sort of midway through the first half, I realized how the All Blacks were playing. They were saying to the Springboks, we don't care whether we lose this game or not. We are going to score four tries and we're going to get the bonus point and we're going to win the rugby championship. And I think that's what sets them aside. And hopefully that sort of attitude, that confidence, is what's starting to come through the Springboks, is to say, we don't care who you put on the park and how you play and who the referee is. We're going to play our game and we're going to beat you.
Yeah, so the All Blacks unbeaten. Yeah, and you know what I also enjoyed? The Irish commentators were just brilliant. I mean, you could hear the hard take, but no bias, especially with the last try and the retake of the conversion. There was no criticism. I mean, they just really, they know the rules, and they call it as they see it. But you could hear, I mean, they were almost in tears.
No, absolutely. And you know, their crowd is also so well-behaved on the kicks and things like that. And I thought it was really big because, you know, they looked at the decision and actually agreed that, you know, it seemed a little bit unfair, but, you know, Ireland had come early, you know, and great credit to old Nigel that he gave that retake, you know, that that would have taken quite a big heart in front of 60,000 baying Irishmen to say you've broken a law and I'm going to call it, you know, and you've got to admire a referee that can lay down the law to that extent, because that couldn't have been easy to do either. And you know, it would have been a nice cop-out, 22-all. You know, yeah. Who would have been cross with him?
100%. Finally, all quiet at Sarru on the Western Front with regards to the Marty scandal, whether the allegations against Yuri Roux, everything's a bit very cagey and very quiet at the moment.
Yeah, no dispatches coming out of that area, and as you know, they the most prolific senders outers of press releases of any sport in the country. You know, they got quite a team of PR people, but on that issue they've distanced themselves. They say it's not their issue, but there are more and more accusations, alleged things reaching my ears, and I'm sure reaching your ears and reaching your computer, about the Marty connection that is carried on into South African rugby, and Yuri Roux is one of the links. And I can bet you your bottom dollar that people, including myself, including you, are trying to find that link and to see whether, in fact, that some people from Stellenbosch, some former Stellenbosch people, coaches and players and administrators, might have benefited unfairly by getting nice, cosy jobs at SA Rugby. I think we'll continue to follow that one.
Dan Retief, Sports Fire Rugby Analyst. Thanks again, Dan.
Thanks, Joffers. We'll chat again.
Cheers, then. Australia, 1-0 up in the Ashes after that humiliation of England in the first test. A win for the Aussies by 381 runs. More bad news for England today. Jonathan Trott has left the tour with a stress-related illness. And in a pretty much sad twist of irony, it was that Aussie batsman David Warner was having a go at England after Australia took a 537-run lead into day four. And he also had a go at Trott.
We'll take the third wicket tomorrow morning and then hopefully take the rest after that. Our bowlers are bowling fast at the moment. I think, you know, England are on the back foot. It does look like they've got scared eyes at the moment. The way that Trotty got out today was pretty poor and pretty weak. Obviously, there's a weakness there at the moment, and we're probably on top of it at the moment. He's obviously, you know, he's probably worked hard on the nets. We've seen him work hard in the nets on the short ball. But, you know, trying to face 150-kilometre short ball of Mitch Johnson, the way to go is not probably trying back away.
Anne, I've just got wind of an imminent security breach.
Don't worry, I've already destroyed Document Y.
You did what?
Relax, Beau. I first converted it into digital format with Document Manager NX.
Great. Now everyone has access to it.
I saved it as a password-protected PDF. And I'm tracking any activity on it.
Darn it. Is document management that good? I'll soon be out of a job.
You want to know my secret? A secure document solution from Ricoh. I'll even give you the password. Ricoh.co.za. Ricoh. Imagine. Change.
Last week they had the G Sport for Girls Awards, and there were some big awards, and one of the most special ones was the induction into the Hall of Fame of our comrades, Queen Frith van der Merwe. Frith now joins us on Sportsfire tonight. Frith, great to have you on the show, and thanks for your time.
It's a pleasure, Graham.
Congratulations, inducted into the G Sport Hall of Fame. Did it come as a surprise to you?
It did come as a surprise. You know, I sort of got so used to an ordinary day just of teaching and being with the kids, and then suddenly I got this phone call, and, wow, it's like being back in the limelight again just for a day.
That's beautiful. You deserve it, if anyone deserves it. And, I mean, the guys, I saw some tweets about you stealing the show. I believe you were telling some old stories and anecdotes. Anything that you can share with us on the show?
Yes, I did share a couple of old anecdotes. Just really that I had so much fun with my running. I think that's an important thing, is to have fun with what you do. And I related a couple of stories about my fellow training partners. One in particular, I won't give his surname, we call him Johnny.
Okay.
And he used to get himself into such a state before a race that he would eat everything, have bananas and take every supplement that he had, you know, could possibly take. Anyway, it was two oceans, and having eaten so much before the race and getting so nervous, he had a bit of a tummy problem. So he stopped en route to use one of the portable loos on two oceans, and you know how the wind blows, and this is a true story. It blew the toilet over, and runners being so helpful lifted the toilet up and got Johnny out, but then no one ran with him for the rest of the race.
What a great story.
Yeah, so I've had, you know, now many of those. You know, runners really are unique people.
So did Johnny Fordyce run with a toilet on his back the whole way?
No, that's, I think, why I could never get a silver medal.
Oh, beautiful. Now, you said you're teaching. Are you teaching at the moment?
Yes, I'm back teaching at Benoni High School. I actually taught there in that good year that I had with comrades in 89. So 25 years later, I went back there. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm teaching English despite the surname. And also, I'm doing a little bit of cross-country and athletics, but I'm more involved with the tennis. You know, tennis was my first sort of sport I played, and I really wanted to get back into it. So I'm doing the beginner's tennis at the school and thoroughly enjoying it.
So it's Benoni High?
Benoni High, yes.
On the Oostrand.
On the Oostrand, yes,
beautiful.
Where the Kenyan people come from.
No, you know that I agree with you. I love the East Rand people. Amazing people. I've never had a, you know, just any function that I've done on the East Rand, the people are fantastic and warm, and, you know, you just feel so, you're so welcome at all the times. But, gee,
the boys must party.
No, exactly. The boys must be loving it, though. You still look in great shape.
Oh, you know, I run every day, so I do that. And then I join the kids in the activities, and I run with them, and I play tennis with them. So I'm keeping very active. So, you know, I really am just enjoying life, and I really enjoy my teaching as well. You know, it's a very rewarding job in that every day is different. In fact, every 45 minutes is different with a different class, you know. So it's a wonderful job to be in. It's very rewarding, and I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now.
And very well paid teaching.
Yes, very well paid. I didn't do it for the money. And the I think the best thing about teaching are the school holidays.
I think every teacher says that. Right, going back to that incredible career of yours, and if we go back to the Comrades Marathon, the late 80s, the early 90s, astonishing success. And then, I mean, I think I remember the records. I think you set records in both the up and the down run, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I did, Graham, but I only hold the down run record now, and that's actually this year will be 25 years old.
Incredible. Special times, though. I mean, training for those marathons must be the hardest part, but on race day, that Comrades Marathon must be just the most incredible experience.
Oh, it was. You know, it was something I'll never forget. And I always say, and I'm not lying when I do say it, you know, if everyone could just experience the Comrades Marathon, you know, the atmosphere is absolutely fantastic. It's a day that will stay with me forever. I remember, you know, waking up in the morning, I was excited. The night before, I'd eaten exactly what a Comrades runner shouldn't eat. I'd had three glasses of wine and a two toasted cheese sandwiches. The morning before the race, I had a cup of coffee and some chocolate, you know. Went off and, you know, I just felt incredibly good on the run. And sort of the crowd support sucked me along. And then the next thing towards the, you know, the second half of the race, I began passing all these so-called male gold medalists, you know, and I was telling the people that I didn't know what to say when I passed them, like, see you at the finish, what do you say, you know, and just felt incredibly good, and running into that stadium is, you know, fabulous, the goosebumps, that, you know, they play the Chariots of Fire again, and it's just so emotional because, as you know, you've trained very, very hard for the race, and it's just really such an incredible experience to achieve that goal. You know, I knew I was in good shape, but I didn't think I would run under 6 hours. I knew about 6:10, 6:15. So it was just an incredible feeling knowing that I'd broken that record, and my life changed after that day, you know.
Amazing. I think your Two Oceans Marathon record, 3:30:36, does that still stand?
Yes, that still stands. I actually set that in the same year. So it's also 25 years old, but what they've done now to Oceans is they are offering 1 million rand to anybody that can break my record. So and that's next year. So I think we're going to have a couple of good contenders, probably some fast marathon women, because that's how I think the only way they will break it, my record, is if you can run a fast marathon. So next year's the year to watch.
You're not thinking of coming out of retirement then to run it? A million rand, bonus as a teacher.
Next year I'm 50, so I don't think there's much chance of that.
And which one, I mean, did you prefer between Comrades and Two Oceans, and your preference?
You know, they're both very different races. Two Oceans is beautiful the whole way. It's, you know, quite a bit shorter, so you've got to have a bit more speed. Comrades is unique in its own way because it's long and hard, unforgiving. But I would say the Comrades, with all its history, probably a little bit more special for me.
Any regrets?
None whatsoever. You know, people said, Fitz, maybe you shouldn't have run so hard in those years and you could have timed it better. And each year, as you broke the record, you know, maybe because there was a lot of money at Two Oceans and cars on, you know, offer if you broke the record, you might have a few cars today and a bit more money. But you know what? You never know what's going to happen, what's around the corner. So I did what I could when I could. So there are absolutely no regrets.
And how did you get started in running? I mean, how did it all come about?
Oh, it was quite strange because, as I told you, I was a tennis player.
Right.
And then at school one day, we were all forced to run cross-country because the headmaster wanted a cross-country team. I actually was determined not to run and really put on my tennis kit because we hadn't finished our championships at school, and asked the headmaster if we'd rather finish our tennis. And he said, no, no, you'll first run. And I don't know if I was angry at not getting my own way, but I still ran the race in a tennis dress and tackies, and I managed to win the race. And, you know, suddenly then it dawned on me that maybe I've got a talent with this. So I started to run more, and I trained a little bit harder. And, you know, the longer the race was, the better I did.
In a tennis skirt and tackies.
That's it. And I actually ran in those tennis tackies for many years.
You got an amazing story. Have you never written a book?
I haven't. You know, I've had a couple of offers, but I've never just really sat down and got down and, you know, sort of done it. So it's something I need to do.
No, you got some great stories. And sad at the story, Sonia Laxton, I read an update from her husband, Ian, that she's obviously still in a, you know, her injuries are very serious. Luckily
very
that
serious.
She's, you know, do you have any update on Sonia?
I haven't, you know, I also spoke to Ian a couple of days ago. You know, it's just terrible what happened to her. It's devastating. And, you know, she's been through so much. I don't know if you know, a couple of years ago she had cancer and she beat that, and now this is something else that's, you know, challenging her, and she's got to overcome this. But, you know, she's a very strong person, and I still, you know, Ian believed that she could still run. So,
amazing.
You know, it would be fantastic if she did. I mean, that would be a lovely story.
Yeah, I would all wish her a speedy recovery.
Yes, we do.
Frith
so she was someone I always looked up to in my early days of running. I always tried to beat her. And, you know, it was a very difficult task.
Well, after tonight, you know, there's so many girls that should be looking up to you, Frith. I mean, amazing stories and, yeah, a comrades queen, and, yeah, really great catching up with you. And, yeah, I look forward to that book one day.
Yes, definitely. I must get down and do that. There'll be quite a few spicy stories.
Like sitting on the embankment at the Wanderers. The cameras couldn't stop focusing on you. Take care, Frith. Great chatting to you.
Thanks very much, Graham.
Take care then. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Hello, this is Ed Harry at BBC Sport. Manchester United captain Patrice Evra told the BBC the club can't afford any more major slip-ups if they're to retain the English Premier League title. United were leading in the closing moments of their match in Cardiff on Sunday when this happened.
And it's an equaliser from Kim, who's got the goal for Cardiff. Kim Bo-kyung has got the Cardiff City Stadium alight. Manchester United have conceded right at the end of the game. It's Cardiff 2, Manchester United 2.
United then trail the leaders Arsenal by 7 points after that. Evra says they can still be champions, but must stop giving away points.
We can't do any mistake anymore. We know that, but yeah. You know, to draw against Southampton the last second, to draw against Cardiff, you have that feeling you're losing point to win the title. That's why I am frustrated, but, you know, I know the league is a marathon, it's not a sprint. That's why I will keep working hard, and I know we can still win the title.
Meanwhile, Wayne Rooney's admitted he was at fault when he kicked out at Jordan Mutch during the match. Referee Neil Swarbrick opted to book Rooney rather than show him a red card for that first half incident. Rooney tweeted afterwards, "Just watch the game back. I agree mine was a bad tackle and ref dealt with it." Cardiff's manager, Malky Mackay, has no complaints about the decision to show the United striker a yellow card.
Some referees might have sent him off for that and reacted to it. But, you know, I think for the referee controlled the game really well. I think it was two hard committed teams. I think there was tackles lying in, there was fouls, and it was an aggressive game. But at the same time, I think it was probably... it was good management of the whole game by Neil Swarbrick.
Manchester City are now in fourth place following their 6-0 win at home to Tottenham. Spurs losing for the first time in the league this season on their travels. City's Ivory Coast midfielder Yaya Toure says after another impressive home victory, the players must now repeat those performances away.
We knew that it's going to be difficult because we knew, to be honest with you, to win the Premier League, we have to do a big business away, you know, and I think now we have the first game today against Tottenham was very nice, but we work on that, and I think the away game we're going to be very important.
And City have confirmed Joe Hart will start their Champions League group match against Victoria Pilsen on Wednesday. The England number one hasn't played for City since being replaced by Kostel Pantilimon earlier this month. For more football news from the BBC, use your mobile phone. Go to bbc.com/mobile.
As you know, on Sportsfire, we love to give sports of a difference and the smaller sports coverage and coverage that they deserve. And tonight we're talking about CrossFit, which is got to do with gym. And it's something that I'm not much of a gym bunny. Well, I guess you can't be a bunny if you're a boy. But anyway, we're talking about CrossFit, and we're joined by Neil Kayser tonight, who's one of the guys involved in starting CrossFit in South Africa. Neil, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Graham.
First of all, help me here. What is CrossFit? I need help.
CrossFit is a sport of fitness. It's basically weightlifting, gymnastics, cardiovascular exercise, all thrown into a pot, all done you know, at various lengths, weights. So yeah, we throw all of that stuff together, and we keep it interesting for the guys so nobody gets bored in exercising.
And so you can have a session of an hour or two, depending on what you want to do, but it's all those different activities. Is it a bit like a boot camp almost?
It is to a certain extent. We do have progressions, though, so you can start with your gymnastic exercises and then from there progress into heavier weights, more the weightlifting side of things. But we normally train an hour, maybe less than an hour. Some of our workouts can be up to 15 minutes. It's very high intensity. So what's nice about it is you can eat the workout before work or just after work, and it doesn't really affect your day.
So you can get in there for 45 minutes and just have a proper workout.
100%, and you'll be knackered afterwards.
I'll be knackered after 10 minutes, never mind 45. And Neil, did you start it in South Africa? How did it all come about that CrossFit is now here?
It started in the States. There's a bunch of guys that started, I think I was about the 12th gym in South Africa to open.
Okay.
At the moment, I'm not exactly sure how many we are, but there's probably more than 60 or 70 gyms now. But yeah, I was one of the guys that started. We basically, learned of it through the States and started developing the sport. There's a bunch of guys that were pioneers in doing that. The sport just grew. It's one of the fastest growing sports in the country. Nowadays when you go out to a function or a ball or anywhere, the guys are talking about it. So that's quite lucky.
Yeah, and I see CrossFit Peter Maritzburg's retweeted, and there are quite a few. I think there are a couple of places around the country that are doing CrossFit. And, yeah, I have heard it's growing so fast. And I guess we're becoming so more health conscious and fitness conscious in South Africa because of our stress levels.
Yeah, 100%. I'm fortunate in my gym. We've got guys from I've got more middle-aged guys, guys between your 30s and your 50s that train, just purely based on the area that I'm in. Some of the other guys are based at high schools, but it's one of those sports that you can do from a very young age. We've got kids classes starting at 5 all the way through to older people, 60 and up. So it's definitely there for everybody to do. We scale workouts, so no matter what we do, we can get people involved.
And you're
in
at the
safe way.
And your gym is at Midstream.
Yeah, we're in Midstream Estate. We've got a box here about 500 squares, 500 squares of space.
And I think you had some championships last week. Who are the champs?
Yeah, we actually, one of our goals won the, we've got a, there was an elite version and a scaled version. The scaled version is to get basically give everybody a chance that, that's trying to get at that elite level. One of our girls actually won the ladies' scaled version, which we're very proud of. Our box came third overall in the country. It was a countrywide competition that was held, and they basically Skyzie in Pretoria, I think from CrossFit Slab, that started the competition. It was their idea, and they put out the workout, and then everybody through the country does the workout between Thursday and Sunday, and then puts up their scores on the internet, and then they set up a ranking, and it's a four weeks of exercises, and afterwards the guys can see where they are. So it's quite like to be able to compete was an amazing vibe in our gym, and get everybody going for December again.
Yeah, everyone wants to look good for those bikinis in December and those white speedos. And where can one find out more information about CrossFit, and especially your gym in Midstream as well?
CrossFit, we're all over the internet. If you Google CrossFit and your area, because the gyms are pretty much all over the country now, so you can just CrossFit and put your area in there, and the gyms will pop up. There is also international site CrossFit.com where you can go under South Africa and then find all the gyms listed there. My gym is called CrossFit Wow, WOW, it's .com website, so guys can go on the internet. They'll be the first one to pop up on Google.
Fantastic. Neil Kaiser, great chatting to you on SportsFire. And may it go from strength to strength, because I heard CrossFit is the in thing at the moment in South Africa.
Awesome. Thanks, Graham. I really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Neil Kaiser from CrossFit South Africa. Well, CrossFit there and his gym out at Midstream. Feel for Henny Otto. Wow. South African Open Golf at Glendower this past weekend. And Henny, I think he had a 3-shot lead with about 3 or 4 holes to play. One hand on the trophy, then goes bogey, and then double. And then it was Denmark's Morten Madsen who won it on 19 under par, 2 better than Otto, and JBE Kruger, Madsen's first European Tour win.
Yeah, it's as I said out there, it's really is a cliche to say that it hasn't sunk in yet, but it, it hasn't. So, but and one thing I know is for sure is that I'm really happy and over the moon right now. To have the SA Open as my first victory on the European Tour is just extremely special. And just if you look down the list of names that won this tournament in the past, it's just major champions and really great champions all around. So that's an honor for sure. I from the very first time I played in South Africa, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And so obviously it's when we Europeans come down here, it's sometimes it can be tough to compete with the South Africans because they're used to the conditions down here with the altitude and the weather and all that stuff. So I always thought that I would play pretty well in South Africa, but to win, I obviously didn't expect that, but it's just amazing feeling.
Soccer 6 is your chance to score big. Over 4 million rand is won on Soccer 6 every week, and it's easy to play. To win, you must forecast the results of 6 matches. Play by phone, online, or on your mobile. Soccer 6, your best soccer bet.
Time to catch up with Teletrack analyst Shane McGregor. Hello, Shane Mack.
Joseph Salzman, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, my boy. Wayne Rooney, all over the news again, bad tackle against Cardiff. And then I saw he had to go to commentators and analysts who said that he should have been sent off.
Yeah, well, that's a bad reaction, you know. He was lucky to stay on the field, and I thought he should have been sent off. And I suppose he's trying to justify the tackle and justify himself.
And he does. He's such a great player, but can be a loose cannon at any time.
Yeah, he hasn't been doing that for a while, you know. It's just one of these things off the cuff again. And, as you say, he's a great player, but he loses it every now and then.
Was that a bit like you in your heyday?
Never like that, Justice. Yeah.
It's not a press conference. You can tell the truth, Shane Mack. Good point for Cardiff, though, but more drop points for United.
Yeah, it's 2 drops for them, you know. I've been telling you all year they can't defend, and that's the big problem, you know. When you get a guy coming in the box as small as he is, and getting the head in, scoring, that's a problem. It really is a problem. But it's a good point for them at home. But as I say, 2 drop points for United.
Arsenal 4 points clear at the top after 2-0 win over Southampton, and just keeping their breathing space at the top.
They are, and it's a good win for them. I mean, it was a silly goal that was given away early on. Missed kick by the keeper, give the goal away. But, I mean, it's a good work from life performance from them. And they're going to Europe this week again, and we'll see what happens there. But December's coming, as I've been saying all along, and we'll see then. We'll see how big this squad is. If it doesn't buy a few players, I think could be in a bit of trouble.
Big story, or the biggest surprise results of the weekend, Man City 6, Tottenham 0. I'm loving some of the chirps that are coming out, and someone on Twitter, I think it was even Mark Fish, who said, no one to bail Spurs out. And then I saw just now someone put out that Andras Villas-Boas' wife tried to wake him up and said, it's 7 o'clock, it's 7, it's 7. And he said, no, they've scored again.
Yeah, that's brilliant, you know. But Man City were a different class, and Spurs just weren't even at the game. He must be under big pressure now. He spent all that money. 59th on the lobby, I think it is. It's not good enough, you know, and they should be in there in the top 4. So I think a lot of pressure there, but a great win again from City. Just wish I could get that home form away from us.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and was it Navas? Can play. What a player.
No, he can play. They've got a few. They've got attacking mind, brilliant. The striker, Delgado, you've got the other young Argentinian lad, but they've got a great team. I mean, you can't stop them.
Merseyside derby, Everton 3 or Liverpool 3, was that a fair reflection of the game?
Yeah, I thought it was. It could have ended 6-6. They had so many chances, and it was a great game. You know, typical derby game. I think for Liverpool it's a good point, especially away from home against Everton, and they won't be unhappy with that. But a good thing for soccer, you know. It just shows you that you can play that game and attack in football. But defenders-wise, the two teams won't be too happy with their defence.
Did the soccer pools pay at the weekend?
Yeah, so the soccer 13 got to 60 million. There were 71 winners, paid 227,000. And then the one Thunder, the Soccer 13, 8.32 million, and they paid 449,000 to 17 winners.
Hmm. Sansui Summer Cup weekend. Let's talk horse racing. And just before we do, just quickly chat about it, I want to go back to last year's Summer Cup, and let's just pick it up. I think the last 200 or 300 meters of the race.
Wagner, the leader. Gil San Pedro runs behind that with 150 to go. Showgunner looking to run on Zambuca. White Line Fever, but it's Wagner. Wagner's going all the way into the Sansui Summer Cup. And Wagner's pulled it off. He's won the Sansui Summer Cup, hosted by Gauteng. Showgunner was in behind that in second. Gil San Pedro behind those. And they were followed further back by possibly Astro News. But it's Wagner who asserts his authority in the Sansui Summer Cup for Joey Soma and Marcus Huister.
Yeah, Jockey Kumalo and yeah, Joey Soma, one of the real nice guys in South African horse racing, and just great to see him win something, a race as big as this.
Yeah, it was great for Joey. You know, he's been in the game a long, long time, and as you say, the most likable of the guys. Always gives us tips and always gives the guys advice, so he's one of the better guys around. So it always brings up outsiders, and I think it's going to happen again this week.
So, have you got something for us at 50-1?
Well, I'm looking at a horse called Tiger Retreat. Sean Terry's horse, number 14, got a nice weight, coming into the race, ready for it. He's been prepping for this race, and I think that'll run a big race. But if it rains a bit and it's going a bit heavy, I'll have a look at Gothic. I think that'll be running on to death when they're all stopping.
So Tiger Retreat or Gothic?
That's it. Those are the two.
Is Tiger Retreat part of Tiger Ridge? Is that also Volkerbos Drift?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay. Well, Shane Mack, we like it. We like a bit of value. And we'll catch up again on Monday, boy.
Okay. Thanks, Joffers.
Take care then. Shane McGregor, Teletrack Analyst, Channel 239. Celebrity birthdays on the 25th of November. Pakistan, the great all-rounder, Imran Khan, now turned politician. What a great cricketer that was. The Australian Olympic runner, Lauren Hewitt, born this day, 1978. And South African and former Bafana captain, now born this day, 1980, Aaron McQuenna. Right, let's look best on the TV then for the early part of this week, Tuesday. You've got Champions League football, Zenit St. Petersburg against Atletico Madrid, Ajax Barcelona, Porto against Vienna, Celtic against AC Milan, Basel take on Chelsea, Arsenal against Marseille. Wednesday, you've got the third ODI, India against the West Indies. That series is at 1-1. South Africa against Pakistan, the second ODI on Wednesday. Of course, the Pakistanis having won that second T20 and also the first ODI. Disappointing loss for the Proteas, so the Pakistanis 1-0 up in that three-match series. PSL Wednesday night, Maritzburg United against Pirates, Chiefs against Polokwane City. Busy night of Champions League action on Wednesday, CSKA against Bayern, Bayer Leverkusen against Manchester United, Anderlecht against Benfica, Juventus against FC Copenhagen, Real Madrid at home to Galatasaray, and Man City entertain Slen. Thursday, Alfred Dunhill Golf, the Leopard Creek, the South African swing after the South African Open, and what a great tournament that always is, and beautiful, beautiful Leopard Creek. It is the Alfred Dunhill Championship. To end off as usual, it is Norma, off-the-wall analyst, stand-up comedian extraordinaire, Malcolm Ferreira. Hello, Norm.
How's it going?
How things?
Fun, thanks for asking, and how are you?
Yeah, I'm showroom.
You showroom? You're in a showroom? They kick you out the studios. Graham, you know what? I worked something out, eh?
What did you work out?
My intellectualizing is becoming good. You know why it's so hot here?
Are you still in Durban?
No, I'm in Northern Natal, I'm in Zululand.
Sorry. Why is it so hot there?
It's because of the sun. I promise you. You know what I did, eh, Graham? You know when I was chewing you, when you break up with your cherry, don't worry, there are plenty of fish in the sea. I was on the beach fishing the other day, and that's not true, eh?
There's
not plenty of fish in the sea. They caught nothing. But if you're broken up with your cherry, why would you want to fish from the sea? What's it going to do? 2 minutes of loving and it's dead. But you know what, hey, Graham? I stood on something in the sea. It's like a hedgehog. It's called a sea enemy.
A sea enemy?
Yeah, it's like a black team with lots of spokes.
Sparks or spokes?
Spikes. No, it's not spokes.
And are you okay?
I could say, you know, it's the first time I've had aquapuncture, but at least now I know what it is.
Aquapuncture?
Have you had aquapuncture before?
Oh, Norm, you're a special child.
Why, have you had aquapuncture?
Maybe acupuncture, but not aquapuncture.
No, there was no cue there, man. I was there on my own. But yes, scam, you know what? The sun comes up here before it comes up there, eh? Did you know that? I promise you, Graham, they shouldn't call this the East Coast. They should call it the Michael Jackson Coast. Because it sees the sun first.
Well, stop it, Norm.
I promise. And then, you know what? I went on a mountain bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
But it was through a forest.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very dishonest, Graham. But I went around the whole little town here. I couldn't find a forest bike anywhere. So I had to just use the mountain one. Do you know what I'm saying? But you know, Graham, I was just watching now with my Uncle Noel. Eh? I was watching on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that sports can make you fitter by watching it on the TV.
Sports?
And it's true, because every time we drop a catch, Uncle Noel has a fit. So it works. And then, Graham, I see Weber's retiring, hey?
Yeah, that's the end for Mark Weber.
They say he's disgruntled. You know, Graham, I thought disgruntled was a type of flatulence. Because you're disgrunting. Because my new friend down here, Vicky, hey? She's a redhead, your Vicky. Your, she's a redhead, so she doesn't have many friends. So she'll sooner tell you anything. And she knows a lot about flatulence.
Oh, stop it.
So I thought that Weber was just having a bit of a fart around. But anyway, I would also be very unhappy if I was him being paid millions to drive a car around in circles, hey? Oh, the abuse, Graham. But then listen, I wrote a poem for Zane Kirchner to say goodbye.
You're saying goodbye to Zane Kirchner?
Yeah, because you know he's gone overseas.
Let's hear this poem.
Okay, it's called Ode to Zane, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Dear Zane, cheers. That's it. I'm keeping the same one for Graham Smith, except I'm taking out the deer. And no. You know, Graham, these boxers, I met a boxer here the other day, they're very arrogant.
Why?
I don't know, they're just arrogant people. You know, I was talking to the oak because he was in some big bout here. And I asked him how he did, and he said, no, he did exceptionally well. He came second.
He did exceptionally well. He came second in a boxing fight.
Yeah, did that take a while, Graham?
No.
Have I caught you on a slow day?
You've caught me trying to multitask. I was trying to read some other stories in case you ran out of material.
I've got loads of material. Why is my material a cup tonight?
It's actually very good.
So you're reading other things while you see, Graham? This is why you'll never do that with Dan or that other oak that talks about the betting.
Don't take it personally, Norm.
Well, of course I'm going to take it personal, Graham. You know what you like? You like a goalkeeper. I'll never understand a goalkeeper who actually lets the ball in, eh? Your job is called goalkeeper. But then as soon as the ball in, he shouts at everybody else. Because you can't do your job, and now you're somewhere reading it because I'm boring you. You like my lost cherry that used to look at the roof and say, we need it painted while I was working my heart out.
Norm, we love your work, my boy. Please, don't take it personally.
Oh, Graham. Okay, well, then I'll leave you for your other stories.
We are out of time, but don't take that personally.
Yeah, keep... don't worry. So my daddy said that as well. Anyway.
Keep working on those poems.
Yeah, no, I will. And I'll bring one of those black things to help you with some acupuncture. Apparently it calms you down. It didn't calm me down. I wanted to pee on it. He said it would help.
Cheers, Norm.
Okay, I love you, Graham. Even though you hate me, I love you. Okay, bye.
Oh, that is it for Sports Fire tonight. Thanks for all the guests for being on the show. We'll be back Thursday, 5:30. Good night. All the sports, all the news, Sports Fire. On
asking the questions no one else will. Join me, Graham Joffe, as we scrum down with players, coaches and administrators. 1 hour of hard-hitting, informing, controversial, entertaining sports talk. Sportsfire, powered by Ricoh.